Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the V.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song, I really dislike.
Hans.
Trevor's on fire right now.
You got to be a trendsetter.
14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
The Braves look excited. They look happy. They can knock the Dodgers out of the playoffs. Good morning. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Derek Piper to my left. Trevor Belise to my right. He's wanting to talk a little college basketball today, and why not? Loved his tweet the other day about KenPom. We'll get to that as we roll along. You guys just told me the NBA starts tonight. ESPN Radio, this has got to be like Christmas for those guys.
It's got to be. I'm surprised you're not just busting in here ready to talk Ben Simmons.
Let's go.
He's an NBA guy as well, but Ben Simmons.
At this point, I'd rather read Bill Simmons than watch Ben Simmons. Is that bad? Listen, I'm glad and I hope that it kind of gets to a... They figure something out. I mean, the Sixers are better with Ben Simmons, and obviously Ben Simmons is a pretty good player, but... They tried. I just don't think they could get anything for him. And then it was more or less, hey, so...
Today's news doesn't help.
What was today?
He got kicked out of practice.
Oh, he did.
Because he refused to go in on a defensive drill. And Doc asked him again. He said, no, thanks. And he said, why don't you just go home? So he went home.
Good. Good. I can promise you right now, Doc Rivers is not going to put up with that. Doc has been along. He's been around way too long. He'll just look at the Sixers brass and say, if you want to fire me, fire me. But I'm not putting up with that kid. I'm not going to do it. Well, now that you said that, I guess maybe the Sixers don't need Ben Simmons. Does he get paid? He doesn't get paid if he doesn't play, right?
Is that
part of the reason he came back to practice is because he was missing.
Like holding out. Yeah. You're not going to get your pay. He suspended one game based on conduct. Detrimental to the team, that whole deal, but it seems very unlikely that he's going to play for the Sixers, but now he's just like torpedoing his value.
Right.
As if it was hard to get good value for him after the way he played in the playoffs. Could you get a role player for him? Yeah, I think you could, but now with kind of his attitude, that's going to be
tougher. I mean, who would want him? The Sixers really did not do well with these drafts through the years. So
Embiid's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, Embiid was really good. That's my fault. But other than that, Nerlens Noel was bad.
Fultz
was horrible. I mean, it was just, I don't know. That NBA talk is brought to you by ESPN Radio. How about that? All right, so we will talk. We'll actually talk a little NBA maybe later on to get going. Do the Bulls play tonight? I forgot. We have a guy now. We have a guy to focus on now in the NBA with Io.
Bulls play tomorrow night in Detroit.
Okay. How many minutes do you think Io would get if he plays at all?
It won't be very many.
Okay.
Because even in some of the preseason games, he wasn't getting in until the very end.
Okay.
And assuming the game is close throughout, we'll see. It's probably something he's going to have to earn, and there might be even a point in time where if you're the Bulls, you got to decide – is it better for his development to be on this NBA team and play sparingly, maybe try to earn a role in practice? Or are we going to at some point send him to the G League where he's going to get the reps and the experience him to play more in game action? So that's going to be interesting to see. But it's pretty cool that he's on the opening night roster and gets to go through all of that. And as far as like the status of that is pretty cool, not only for him but for Illinois basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And would love to see him earn that role. Even if it is going to be small at the very beginning.
So as a IO fan, not a Bulls fan, as an IO fan, if he gets sent down to the G League, I shouldn't panic. It's more or less, you see it in baseball a lot, like the Cardinals, for instance, with Matthew Liberatore, Nolan Gorman, you know, those guys are really good friends. You see that with them in terms of they keep them down in Memphis so that they're getting action and not coming up and just sitting, you know, on the bench and not playing at all. So don't be nervous, in other words, if IO all of a sudden we hear he's going to the G.
Right.
Okay. That's fair. So we'll keep you up to speed on IO as we go along. Of course, we'll have our updates on him, but again, the Bulls play tomorrow night, NBA starts tonight. All right, Brett Bielema caused a little bit of a stir, not only around this, you know, Central Illinois, but really nationwide. It seemed like, what was it? Who was tweeting at him? It was, I keep wanting to say Doug Gottlieb, but it's not him. It's Mike Golic.
Mike Golic Jr.
Oh, it was Junior.
It was.
Okay. I was going to say, if it was Dad, it would hold a lot more value.
I didn't
mind.
Check Golic Senior's Twitter account. I saw that Golic Junior was firing off on it, as well as a litany of other people. Not necessarily like a bunch of national media weighing in, but it was highly talked about.
People were
on Twitter.
I mean, it's just different. You just do not hear a coach say that very often. And the one thing, again, that you kind of read into it is the idea that, you know, Bielema basically said these last 3 years, I mean, these recruits in the last 3 years on this offensive line are really giving us nothing. Now, the only catch there is that Julian Pearl is within the last 3 years.
Which even I was, because see, this is what happens when you hear the clip and then you react. Actually digging back into it, Julian Pearl, while he's only a sophomore, was in the 2018 class.
Ah.
So he actually doesn't count in those 3 years, so
19, 20,
now it
21.
Makes more even more sense.
Yes.
But see, that's part of the problem where the outside is going to not do the homework or not either not care to do the homework or don't know all the context,
exactly.
And that's when you get kind of the knee-jerk reactions. And there are still some...
Even for me yesterday.
There's even a conversation to be had about whether that was the right thing to do because of how public it was and because of maybe the reactions... Because, like, if you're a recruit out wherever and you're going to try to, and Illinois is under the consideration of you, and you may not know all the backstory, you're just seeing that the head coach is putting people on blast in the middle of the season. That's not, potentially, maybe not a good look.
That's fair.
So that is something that you can bicker about, go back and forth, and have different opinions on. But, yeah, it is a hot story. Illinois football at 2-5 is a hot story in the middle of October.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It is funny when you look at it that way. And then also, I guess you could, as a recruit, say, well, he's ready to clean house and I'm ready to come in and play.
True.
So I guess that's another way to look at it. Well, today, a couple of the players, including Doug Kramer, who is a senior center, well, he's like a ninth year veteran center on this Illinois football team. He spoke. So did Chase Brown, of course, the transfer from Western Michigan. But they both commented on what was said by Brett Bielema. We'll start with Doug Kramer.
I don't know why this is kind of receiving so much heat. You know, I didn't take it personally, and I mean, that's really all it was. It was just, you know, a little bit of noise on a Monday. So Coach B has always been honest with me. You know, his leadership is second to none. I stand behind him no matter what. And, you know, really what all that matters, I see everything on Twitter going off. So really what matters to me and what matters to this team is what, you know, the individuals inside that building feel. And we all have Coach B's back, and we know that Coach B has our back. So, you know, when he talks about recruiting, that's recruiting for a reason. You know, I don't really have to focus about that. It's my last year. I have 5 weeks left to play football at this university, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to it.
Pretty strong words there from Doug Kramer, basically backing Coach Bielema on the idea of what he said. How about Chase Brown? Is he in the same category as Doug Kramer?
Yeah, with social media, we see it. But, you know, we didn't take it in a way, you know, that he was already trying to, you know, look ahead and looking to transition. But, you know, something that you have to consider is that, you know, we have an older O-line group, and a lot of them will be transitioning out of here, whether it's NFL or whatever they decide to do. So I know that's been on coaches' mind, and
from what I've saw, it was just, you know, it was a snippet, something that's kind of pulled out of context. And, you know, sometimes things might sound worse than it actually is, you know what I mean? And, you know, I know some guys talked to him, but, you know, we didn't take it the wrong way. We know what he's talking about, and, you know, he's being realistic, so.
Do you appreciate a coach that's honest like that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, for me, as a player and all around my life, you know, being honest and straight up is something I take seriously, because you know, why beat around the bush when you can be straight up with somebody and just let them know how it is, right? You know, I know people want to hear how great they are all the time, but, you know, sometimes the truth is what you need to hear. But just going back to what Coach said, I don't think anything he said was negative, but I think a lot of what he said was, hey, you know, we have guys transitioning out of here, and we need to get better in all areas of the team.
That is Chase Brown speaking about the situation with Brett Bielema yesterday in the press conference. Want to credit WCIA and Brett Behrens for that. That was his video, so we appreciate it. Our buddy Brett Behrens, who hasn't gone to the news side like Aaron Bennett. So Brett is still a friend. Aaron is just a person.
On the other side.
He's just a person to me. That's it.
Aaron's a nice guy.
No, he's super nice. Are you kidding me? I was telling you that while we were listening to Chase, I said, I don't know how I would react as an athlete. I really don't. And I'm being honest. I know it's easy to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm not going to let a coach bother me. You know, that's part of it. That's what a coach does. But if you were like, let's say Art Sitkowski and Brett Bielema wanted you to come here, and then he's essentially just saying, you know, they're not getting it done. The quarterback room isn't getting it done. And essentially, I know basically what he said was there's two transfers that are playing and, you know, the rest, there's been no development. So it's not really a slam on Sitkowski or Brandon Peters. It's more or less even those guys. I mean, they had to get a transfer in just to have a starting quarterback, essentially, and that's what I'm left with. But I don't know. I don't know if there'd be that moment of an Aaron Rodgers to the Chicago Bears fans moment where I
you just keep bringing that up, don't you? Everywhere I turn.
Where I would look at Brett Bielema and be like, you know what? Whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure for some, it fires them up. For others, they're going to say the right thing. And then for others, I bet it, they're not happy. And you know what? I guess at the end of the year, with the transfer portal like it is now, you've never had a better chance to take off and explore other sites.
That's true. I don't know either.
I don't either.
I don't think it's the best thing, probably, in the middle of a season.
Agree.
And at the same time, it's probably nothing entirely new. It's not like there haven't been harsh conversations behind closed doors when you get shut out by Wisconsin and you have that kind of performance and you're just not where you want to be in your season. I'm sure that he's had conversations with different position groups, the team as a whole, like we gotta be better. And kind of the bottom line was the roster is not where it needs to be for us to compete like I'm expecting to in the future, which is an obvious statement. Like, everybody knows that. Right. Everybody that's watching this team knows that. So I think that is going to be interesting. I did see, like, Johnny Newton, who is he a freshman? Redshirt freshman?
I think a redshirt freshman.
On the defensive side, so not the point of that conversation, but he tweeted, like, two big question marks quoting that video. And while he might not be talked about as one of those offensive linemen, he came in with guys that you're commenting on. So I think that's something that you also got to be able to take into a context. And then some people are just going to look at it as like, our coach is supposed to have our back.
Yeah. No, there's
no
doubt.
And he was outing people. Yep. I think for me, the very start of, and we could spend the whole show, we talked a lot about this yesterday too.
We did.
The very start of the clip they got out there was, coaches are only as good as their players. You don't bet on jockeys, you bet on horses.
Right.
It was deflecting blame in that moment. Like, everything he said after that is true in fact. And, like, is the roster composition and even taking shot at Alevi Smith for how he built this roster entirely fair? Yeah, it very much is.
Yes.
It's just you could pick and choose and think about different ways that it comes off. It was just a bold and brash way to analyze something in a press conference that you knew people were going to then react off of, even when you just spliced it up and not have the entire context.
It's so frustrating to me as an Illinois fan and as a guy that, you know, spends a lot of time invested in Illinois football. I spend a lot of time, and I consider the tailgating part of the Illinois football experience. I know I don't have to do that. I don't have to be there at 7 a.m. for any reason. But I drove down. I left at 5 a.m. to get to Tennessee in time to watch Illinois play Virginia. I mean, there's some people that wouldn't have worried about that. You know, they're not going to, I'm not going to go watch Illinois. And even with the idea that I mean, I didn't think you'd get blown out by Virginia, but I certainly thought it'd be a little bit closer. I wasn't going down expecting, oh, we're going to beat Virginia. But in the back of my mind, I'm the most optimistic idiot when it comes to Illinois football. So I thought, well, if you could beat Virginia, then you get on a little roll here. So I put a lot of time into it. I go into the games, and I've basically watched, you know, for the last decade, just bad football. It's just that simple, right? It's bad football. And we, you know, I get tired of hearing just the, I mean, we talked about it the other day with, well, Bielma spoke, and he's a guy that I actually enjoy listening to as a coach. He says some funny things, right? He says that a lot. Right. Actually, that's a drinking game if there's ever been a drinking game. So the fact that he came out and just said this brutal honesty is something that we, it just takes us all by surprise because we don't see it. But in a way, it's like, as an Illini fan that has watched this program just really be bad, I love it. Why not? We suck. That's your football program in Illinois sucks. I got no other, I have no other way to say it. You win 2 to 4 games a year. That's it. Every year I get my season tickets. Every year I come in here and for some reason convince myself that they can win 6 games, but they just haven't. And it's like, well, he's brutally honest. Well, I'm going to be brutally honest. It's a terrible program. And hopefully somebody can right the ship. And, you know, Lovey, I mean, Tim Beckman, bless his heart, he came in, he tried. Bill Cubitt tried. You know, Lovey Smith came in, was paid a lot of money, upgraded the facilities under his watch. And that's something certainly that is a credit to him. Now, I don't know if a different coach is here, if that still happens. Maybe it does. But certainly there's one thing you got to give Lovey Smith credit for. The facilities have been upgraded. And, of course, Josh Whitman, a huge part of that. But now you've got a guy in here that knows how to win, or at least has been a part of winning programs for the majority of his coaching life. I mean, he played for Iowa, then he coached for Wisconsin, then he was the head coach of Wisconsin, and then, of course, he went to Arkansas, went to like 3 straight bowls, and then they had a bad year, and he was fired on the field. So a guy like Brett Bielma probably is like, well, I mean, if the athletic director is going to come down here and fire me on the field, then I'm not scared to say this. And maybe it's just one of those where, as Illinois fans, if you don't like this, maybe you should pause and just say, well, you know what? Nothing else has worked. So maybe his brutal honesty and the fact that he's coming at it like that, maybe I can get behind him and hope that he can eventually turn this program into one that is a consistent winner. Not just a winner one year.
Yeah.
Although I'll take that, and I love those years when they pop up. A consistent winner where we go on a Saturday morning with the idea that we can win that game that day. I had that feeling against Nebraska, and they proved me right. Then I had that feeling against UTSA and others, and they didn't prove me right. And now all of a sudden you're in the middle of another season where you'll be lucky to win 4 games. And that's only because Rutgers and Northwestern are not as good, or not good either. So I don't know. I kind of like the honesty of Brett Bielma, and I kind of understand now as a fan that I'm even more behind him in terms of getting this thing turned the right way.
Yeah, and you make some fair points there. I think that as this goes along, we won't think as much about these comments. I think that the likelihood that you're going to lose someone you actually wanted to keep based on what he said is very, very, very low. Also because the list of guys you actually want to keep isn't that long.
No, it's not.
So if
Johnny Newton would be one of those.
He would be one of those guys, for sure.
For sure.
Now, is this going to help push some of the other out the door? Not that you necessarily need that anyway, because you can have those honest conversations after the season behind closed doors, where we've seen, and don't have to just look at Illinois, major college sports, if you want a spot, roster spot to open up, you can make the roster spot open up. That's the brutal reality.
They know how to count.
They know how to figure it out and make the math all add up. Now, whether or not he can take, can he use this as an opportunity to say to recruits, to potential transfers. We're open for business. We want new people here to play significant roles. Is that going to help him? That's what's ultimately going to be the determining factor in whether this is going the right direction.
I agree.
And that's what has to play out this offseason. And can you do the Michigan State? Can you go out and get a bunch of new guys? And it, not to say that you have to then bring in 40 new people and then be in the top 10 the next year. I don't think Illinois fans are going to say that's what we need to happen. But some kind of a variation of bringing in a bunch of new people, having a stark difference in what the product looks like on the football field, and then have Bielema feel like he has his guys in here, and then let's have the evaluation of his coaching tenure.
You look at the two guys. I look at two guys. Josh McCray, who has come in here as a true freshman and has, what, the fourth most rushing yards in a single game by a freshman in Illinois history. He looks the part. Calvin Hart came, and I know it's only one half, and we're way over probably valuing that one half of football against Nebraska, but it is a game you won against a team that's better than you. Now that it's all unfolded, I would assume, I'd still think that Nebraska, I don't know, maybe not. You beat him, so. But you looked at what he did, and yes, the fumble recovery and touchdown glorifies it a little bit more, but he just looked the part, and Josh McCray looks the part. Those are the kind of things that I look at and think that Brett Bielema is going to get those kind of athletes to get in here, and then we may, as fans who have watched what we've watched for the last 5 years, we may look at it next year, even if it is a team that wins seven games, not ranked 10th in the country like Michigan State, etc. We may look at that and be like, wow, these guys are really a lot better. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Doug Kramer's got his back. Chase Brown has his back. It sounds like, I mean, Doug Kramer's one of the more respected guys on this team. I mean, he's been here, you know, he's an elder statesman for sure. So we'll see. I was not expecting to go 30 minutes on that, but we just did. So, man.
I can see the Alina Link text line. I don't have it in front of me. I see that it's over in front of you. It is hopping.
It is hopping. Lindy said story time music needed. Kids, that would be kind of funny, wouldn't it, if like in 20 years, kids, let me tell you about the day that everything changed in Illinois football history. It was October 18, 2021, a crisp fall day. Brett Bielema took the microphone and shocked the world with his sayings. And ever since then, we've won 10 games a year. So you need to go back and remember October 18, 2021. That's it.
You could do a similar one for Brad Underwood.
You want to do that one?
You could.
You want to do a little story time? Have you ever done a story time?
No, I have not.
Kids?
I don't know if I can execute it.
Here comes Uncle Derek. Gather around the table.
Let me tell you how Illinois basketball got turned around. It started with a man named Mark Smith. Said, Coach, I'm tired of you being mean to me and putting me on the treadmill. Then there was an internal investigation to see how mean Brad Underwood actually was.
Yes.
But he was just trying to light a fire under his team. He had to tell Matisse Vassil.
Where was he from, Uncle Derek?
Slovenia.
Okay.
He might want to go back there. So he did.
Can you tell me about Georgie's video where he was dribbling around chairs, Uncle Derek?
That was impressive. Yeah, I don't know.
That was good.
Solid.
Trevor, you want a story time?
No, but you know what's the one that sticks out to me is, do you remember the Georgetown game where Trent was out with a concussion?
Yes.
Remember that? It was a home game against Georgetown.
I remember
Kipper
playing.
Messed up at the very end of that game.
At the end of that game, I think it was like tied with like 2 minutes left or something. Kipper's dribbling up the court and he just loses it.
Yep.
And McClung takes it and dunks it.
Oh.
And Kipper didn't even try to get back. Like, I don't mind dogging him here. This is years ago now.
Right.
The statute of limitations is up now, but it was pitiful. He gave up the ball and literally just turned around and watched McClung go dunk it. And at that moment, I thought, I don't know what it was at that moment. That was like the defining moment of like, blow this up.
Yes.
And that's what happened. That's when you look at a guy like Brian Underwood and you think, he's going to go punch him. I mean, you don't. You knew he wasn't, but you're right. You're right. And I don't, for some reason, remember that particular play. I must have tried to shield that from my mind.
Understandable.
Going forward. But
if you would talk to him, like, in full honesty, and that you could say it for him anyway, like, he thought that team was soft.
Yep.
Didn't know how to win. Needed to get better in terms of talent. And there's some similar parallels in terms of where Illinois football is at. So
there's that famous video, right, at practice.
Right.
Where he's talking and just basically saying, you know, boys, you know, you guys are too nice.
That video is literally a alternate reality version of what Bielema just said yesterday.
Yes.
Maybe not quite as direct.
Right.
But him saying you guys don't know how to win, you don't know how to play tough, I mean, that's basically telling them that whoever taught them that did not teach them that correctly.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
I mean, have no problem with any of that.
I'm tired of this.
We suck.
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I want to get better. I want to get better. I want this to happen on the football.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Oh, but it does. Maybe October 18 will end up.
That's the key part of the story.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's a chapter right there. Yeah.
Boom. I can't wait for the Derek Piper book. It's just going to be called Uncle Derek Talks. That sounds kind of creepy, actually.
I don't think that should be the title.
No, that's probably not. That's probably not. All right.
Maybe somewhere on the back in the description.
Are you going to have Trevor and I both forward it?
That'd be good.
Are we going to be in your forward? Yeah, Is that what it's called? That'd be funny. All right, listen, college hoops. We're talking about Illinois basketball right there. Let's keep talking about them. Illinois is 11th in the AP poll, but where are they in the KenPom rankings? And for people out there like me that don't really understand what that means.
Or the TrevPom rankings.
Or the TrevPom. We will ask Derek and Trevor to explain KenPom and how that works out. Ken Pomeroy is a friend of the show. We've had him on before. Need to try that again. That'd be fun to get him. Also, there was a tweet that Trevor sent out about Illinois and a red-hot start in basketball, and he can explain that as well. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. That's 359-CALL on your phone. That's the U of I Line and Lake text line. You can actually call us, too, on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. It's the same phone number. You can find us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lonte, ESPN. See you.
I'm a D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Trevor, take us to commercial with your Twitter handle.
Can you play the story time music while I do it?
I think that would be an excellent idea.
I am at T. Valese, V-A-L-L-E-S-E. Not
T. Valese. It's The Drive.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jets Pizza, choose between a small salad, any classic sub, Jets bread with dipping sauce, medium round one-topping pizza, or a small one-topping Detroit-style pizza. Pick any two or more and get each for $6.99. That's right, pick two or more for just $6.99. Sub and small salad, $6.99 each. Small Detroit-style pizza and Jets bread, $6.99 each. Promo code MIX2. And don't forget to ask for contactless delivery. Pick two or more for $6.99 each and contactless delivery. A deal that can't be beat. Jets, better because it has to be.
Marcy Sikowski in our studio. Marcy is you said nurse practitioner? Mm-hmm. And you're with OSF. Mm-hmm. Mammogram. Tell me what a mammogram is.
A mammogram is a screening x-ray for breast cancer. We get the baseline screening. We ask women to start screening at age 40 unless they have high risk factors like positive family history. And we want women to continue doing a breast self-exam, usually monthly. There's a form you can get through the American Cancer Society or go online to know the specifics of that exam. But basically, you're looking for changes from month to month. Some women come in just if they feel something different, and that's great. You know, then we reassess. Younger women under 40, we might get an ultrasound, you know, check for changes. And actually, you can self-schedule for a mammogram, which is really convenient and then be connected to
the website and do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. And the website is osfhealthcare.org. Marcy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Marcy's a Zukovsky.
from OSF.
PDR Automotive has been in business since 1973. That's 12 presidential elections. PDR can service your vehicle, whether it's powered by gasoline, diesel fuel, hybrid, or totally electric. Change is inevitable, but one thing you can always count on being consistent is PDR and their ability to service your vehicle no matter what you drive. Specializing in advanced electrical systems. Online at PDRauto.com. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481.
Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today.
Long's Garage in Urbana prides themselves on being the one-stop shop for vehicle and tire repair. Whether you're looking for new tires or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, the ASC certified technicians at Long's can help. In fact, Kumho Tires is running an instant rebate sale right now. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. So visit Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
A family tailgate party will take place all day Saturday, October 23rd at the Stevens Family YMCA. Sample fitness classes, let the kids enjoy a balloon artist, face painting, bounce houses, and Kona ice. Stevens Family YMCA is introducing over $300,000 in new fitness equipment, free hot dogs, chips, and drink to the first 1,000 people, and a chance to win some Y-Bucks. For details on the family fun tailgate on the 23rd, visit sf-ymca.net. Go Illini!
Start a new family tradition this Halloween season. Hi, I'm Lindsay Quick with the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, and we invite you to join us for our Scarecrow Hunt. Look for all the creepy, quirky, and creatively decorated scarecrows outside businesses all throughout Champaign County. Pick a day to take the kids on the Scarecrow Hunt and then post the photos of your favorites on social media with the hashtag Champaign County Scarecrows. We'll randomly choose one photo to win a $100 restaurant gift card. For a map of scarecrow locations, visit champaigncounty.org.
Banco Overhead Door boasts over a decade of experience in garage door sales, installation, and service. They pride themselves on fast, friendly, and professional assistance for all customers. You can trust the licensed and professional team at Banco. And Banco is the only company in a 100-mile radius with a garage door showroom. Go visit their location and shop door options that meet your needs at 214 South Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet, or you can view options online at bankodoor.com. That's BANKCO Door.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon. Tay. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is well. Is well? Are you doing all right? Yeah, I just said you're well.
Yeah,
is here I'm, as well is what I meant to say.
I'm well.
He's well. All right. So that's good news. We're going to talk a little Illinois basketball now. The Illini ranked 11th to start the season in the AP poll. Derek, I asked you yesterday what you thought of that ranking, and you said?
It's a little low.
Okay.
I don't know how you argued them not being in the top 10.
I'm with you 100%.
What they bring back.
Yep.
And the reason you could say, and we've talked about this, you lost an All-American and your closer in Iowa. That, I think that shows some respect nationally for what Iowa meant to this team. And as an Illinois fan, we all know he meant a lot to this team. Two words, by the way, a lot. But if I see Michigan, who lost a lot, and, you know, teams like that that are ahead of you in the rankings, I sit there and think, okay, then I don't understand your thought process to that. I mean, you can argue that Michigan lost more than Illinois, right? They lost their point guard.
They lost Mike Smith, Shondi Brown, Isaiah Livers, Franz Wagner,
who was drafted in the top 10 of the draft, and yet they still, and I know that Michigan's bringing in a great recruiting class, but, you know, not that they can't be better than a lot of guys like DeMonte and Trent that have been here forever, but I don't know. I trust Illinois. Well, it looks like KenPom trusts Illinois as well. Can you explain a little bit about KenPom in case there's somebody out there that doesn't quite know what we're talking about?
Trevor might be even a bigger expert than I am, but it's very analytical.
Okay.
So it's analytics. It's the stats that Lon doesn't like.
Everybody over 40, just turn the channel.
Trevor can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it only factors in like players that have played in college basketball because it doesn't know freshmen.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it, based on its statistical data, maybe factors that in all that much. So that might be part of the reason why you don't see Memphis as high in this one. But it has to maybe account for it somewhat because they're leaning pretty heavily on that. Obviously, Michigan as well. For Michigan to be number two,
right,
it's got to factor in some freshmen. So maybe what I just said is wrong. But, yeah, as I've said before, it's kind of like the college basketball fans, the nerds' Bible for college basketball.
That's fair.
When you've got the different offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, different kind of sabermetrics, as you would say.
And last year, Illinois was like top three in this almost all season.
They were.
And they were a number one seed. And I remember thinking, all right, well, there's never been, I think Trevor brought this stat in, there'd never been a national, what was the last 6 years, one of the top three KenPom ranked teams had won the national title or something. And then I think it happened with Baylor because Baylor was up there as well with like Michigan and Illinois in that.
I did the research on this.
Yeah.
If you're a top five KenPom team preseason, now you have to go back and find the data because if you just click back to a random year in KenPom, it shows you the end of season rankings.
Mm.
So, like, obviously, if you're a top three team at the end of the season, you were probably really good.
Right.
That was with all the data, not without the data of the season. But if you were a preseason top five KenPom team, I just went back to 2016 because it took me a while.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go any further than 5 years. So maybe this is skewed with a small sample size, but if you were a top five preseason team on KenPom since 2016, there's been a 75% chance you make the Sweet 16 and a 45% chance you make the Final Four.
I like hearing that.
So in other words, it's almost a 50-50 shot of making a Final Four if you appear in the preseason top five of KenPom.
And Illinois is where in the preseason KenPom poll?
Fifth.
Okay.
And there was a 55% chance that you remain in the top five all year. So 55% of teams ranked in the top five since 2016 never fell out of the top
five. That's interesting. And KenPom hasn't been around that long. I mean, for instance, when you go back to 2016, I don't know how much long or how much further back you would actually go.
2002 is the first.
Oh, it's two?
Year
okay.
of KenPom, yeah.
Wow, that's longer than I thought. I didn't realize
it was. I don't
know if
he like backdated some of that or.
That's interesting.
Because like now they have Babe Ruth's WAR. Obviously, WAR wasn't around when. So I don't know how much of that was, like, added in after the fact, but...
Babe, how many beers did you have last night? I had me a steak and a couple of beers.
And as Derek pointed out, some of it's still pretty... Like, I was sorting by experience. It's all off, because, like, any freshman obviously has zero experience.
Right.
I mean, that does factor in correctly. I just mean, with freshmen in there, it's going to be skewed, because...
That's fair.
They're all just blank zeros, so... To KenPom, but then to Derek's point, I don't know, you know, to KenPom, Michigan has a bunch of zeros, but they're number two, so obviously it factors in somehow.
Boy, nationally, they love Juwan Howard.
This has nothing to do with that.
I know, but everybody has Michigan. Maybe they're that good again.
That's the one thing you like about KenPom, especially with a sample size, that it takes out,
yes.
It's supposed to take out the bias.
Right.
I mean, it is literally a computer-generated ranking and all of that. What's interesting is Illinois is preseason, so they have preseason rankings for offensive and defensive efficiency. Illinois is 11th in offensive efficiency preseason, second in defense.
Wow. Who's
pretty
first?
High?
That's defense. Really high for defense.
Who's first in that for giggles?
For defense?
Yeah.
Michigan,
okay.
Both squads really good defensively last year.
I agree.
Both squads lost, in particular Michigan, some big parts of what made them really good defensively. Like Franz Wagner was, say what you want about him offensively, I think that there were differing opinions on how great he was or good he was on offense. Like his length and ability to like alter shots, get steals and deflections was a really big deal for them. Shondi Brown, a physical defender as a forward, Livers. I mean, they still have Dickinson in the paint.
Yeah.
And they're still going to have athletes based on who they're bringing in. And same thing kind of for Illinois with Kofi in the middle. But Io and Adam are two guys defensively in terms of bigger guards that you're going to have to answer for.
That's true, because Io and Adam were both good defensively. Trent, we know, was really good.
And DeMonte's a very good defender.
DeMonte, that's exactly right. So we'll see, and then we'll see how like a guy like Coleman Hawkins, we'll see how he can play defense. Omar Payne, you've talked about his 7'6" wingspan. I mean, he accidentally is going to block shots, I would assume, and give fits to some guys. So if you look at the top 10, you got Gonzaga 1, Michigan 2. Gonzaga still has the big boy, Drew Timmy,
back. Drew Timmy's back along with Chet Holmgren, the 7'1". He's 7'1", but he's like sub 200 pounds.
Really? Skinny dude.
Super skinny.
Sean Bradley. Very skilled. Okay. But they lost the guard from Minnesota.
Jalen Suggs.
Suggs was drafted like fourth overall. Okay, so Gonzaga's 1, Michigan 2, Kansas at 3. They've kind of not been around for a couple of years, which is interesting. But Bill Self, I think, brought in a couple of guys, got a couple transfers on the portal. And, you know, look, he always has that tough-minded, really good point guard and a solid center. And they play that high-low game as well as anybody in the country. And I assume that's going to be the case again for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, they were the favorite. I think they were the favorite going into the NCAA tournament in 2020 before, obviously, the season got canceled.
Oh.
And then lost a piece or two off that team. And then last year, they weren't as good. Like, they got smacked by USC in the second round by, like, 30 points.
Weren't they a 3 seed, though, still?
They were still highly seeded. Yeah, 3 seed, I think, is
listen
right.
Listen to me, like, well, Kansas hasn't been around for a while.
Right.
Because they were only a 3 seed last year.
They are one of the oldest teams in the country.
Okay.
Based on who they brought back. David McCormick's back again. Like, that's a name down low that's been there for a long time. O'Shea Ayagi or something like that is their wing that's athletic. He's a pretty good prospect. I think he's thought of as an NBA guy eventually. But they went out and got, not that this is the top of the list in terms of the transfer they got, it's not Jalen Coleman Lands.
Oh, yeah.
But Remy Martin from Arizona State
that's
is a
right.
guard. Is a,
that's right.
A good player that he's going to factor into their mix in the backcourt. They're just an old veteran group.
Now, here's a team, number 4, right ahead of Illinois, is Baylor.
That one's kind of interesting because they lost
a lot,
80%
right?
of their starting lineup in Mitchell, Teague, Butler, and
the big boy,
Vinyl.
Right?
Vinyl,
yeah.
So Flo Thamba's the only starter they return.
Interesting.
But they still had, what's his name, Flagler.
Yeah,
Flagler.
Off the bench. I'm sure he'll be good.
Is Matthew Meyer back?
I think Meyer's back.
Chamwa Chachua.
Oh, yeah, forgot about him.
And Akinjo transferred there from Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They'll be good. It's
I
think they're the first team you hit. Maybe Michigan's the first team you hit, I guess. But they would be one where I get why they're so high, but, I mean, they lost 80% of their production from last year.
Right.
So
Illinois is 5th on the KenPom rankings. Purdue is 6th. A lot of love being thrown for Purdue.
What's interesting for them is they are, and I would not expect this, their preseason offensive efficiency grade is 2nd in the country. Where a team that was pretty challenged overall as far as jump shooting, like outside shot, outside of Stefanovic, was not their strength at all.
Ivy shot 24% from 3 last year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Stefanovic is unreal when it comes to shooting threes. And that little point guard's pretty good. Can't think of his name. He's a lefty, I think.
Hunter?
Hunter.
But yeah, they're
he shot 27% Hunter wow. did last year from three.
So as a team, what did they shoot?
I think in Big Ten play, they were one of the worst.
Man, I didn't realize that. And they took a few. I mean, Stefanovic took the majority of them.
Last year, they were seventh in the conference in three-point shooting percentage. Good.
So kind of right in the middle.
And they were 74th nationally in three-point shooting percentage.
But they've got the inside game, and I'm sure defensively they're up there pretty high. On the KenPom defensive.
It's hard to say sometimes.
It is.
18th, so oh, top 20. Oh, wow.
Okay, so not as good as I thought.
But yeah, Travion Williams inside, Zach mm-hmm. Edey. I'm really interested to see if Edey's worth the hype. Because he was good last year, especially for a lumbering, like, 7'2" guy that's not very athletic.
Right.
And gave problems to teams that weren't Illinois, because mm-hmm. Illinois has Kofi. And, right. and if you don't have that kind of big guy down low, it's more of a problem. But he went out and killed it for Team Canada and the U19, whatever that FIBA. And now everyone's hyping him up like he's going to be an absolute monster. Like Jeff Goodman tweeted out, he's going to be as impactful as any big man out there in the country. I'm like, that much?
Because he's Canadian.
Well, that is.
That's why I tell you.
Factor.
We need a Canadian.
Is he going to be, you're telling me he's going to be as good as impactful, quote unquote, as Kofi, as Hunter Dickinson? Like, no. That's even just looking in the league. I'm very skeptical of that.
I would be too. Now, that's Ivy.
That's Edey.
Or Edey, I'm sorry. Ivy is an athletic 6'5 wing, can do a lot of things, kind of one of those.
I was just looking at a mock draft on The Athletic, and they have him number 8.
Wow.
For this upcoming summer.
And he's a sophomore this year?
Yes.
You know what's interesting about really him good. Is I just went to his page. You know me, I love the similarity score. That's like my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who his top similarity score is? It's a former Illinois guard.
Brandon Paul.
Brandon Paul is his number one rated similarity score.
Because they're built very similar.
They are.
Very similar. You just hope that he doesn't have his 32-point game against Illinois. Right?
Well, that was 43.
Or 43, points. Yeah, exactly. Do that against somebody else.
Do you know how many? I was looking this up randomly last night.
You guys are like all over this, man.
How many points did Jaden Ivey score against Illinois last year in Champaign?
Combined or just in the one game?
Just in the one game.
I guess they only played him once, didn't they?
I'll say 3. Like, I'm going to go that way because I feel like this is the way you're
like
going, right?
Surprise.
Yeah. I'll go 3. Trevor? Without looking.
I'm not looking. I'll say 5 just to price is right him.
0.
What?
Mm.
Who checked him?
Probably Io.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Wasn't Illinois up, like, huge in that game and then it closed at the end?
That's interesting. Because
that was early in Big Ten play.
He's the very one good guy, at that point. Were
right.
They?
He's the one guy I worry about the most off Purdue. Like,
oh, he was spectacular the last like month of the season in particular.
I mean, Williams is unreal, don't get me wrong, but you've got Kofi.
Yep.
So I'm going to trust Kofi against whoever you throw out there against him.
Am I misremembering that Travion also had like very subpar numbers against Illinois?
I think so.
Like overall in his career, in like 3 games, he has like a total of like 25 points or something.
Wow.
That's off the top of my head.
He's probably one of those that was hoping Kofi would be gone, essentially. So Purdue is 6, UCLA 7. Interesting.
Trev's team.
That's Trev's team.
That's right. I accept that. Trev Palm accepts that number. 7's fine.
Trev was the guy that, this is kind of your team. You were fired up about the Bruins being ranked 2nd. Not in a good way.
Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime. Oh, that's right. Remember? Jaime Jaquez.
And now Miles Johnson.
That's now, right. He from North Carolina?
Rutgers.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah. Miles Johnson's like one of the smartest dudes ever. Like, he is like brilliant beyond brilliant. He just needs a haircut. He's like the dude on Michigan. What's that off guard that can shoot? He needs a haircut.
Eli Brooks?
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like Andrew. He didn't look like Andrew, but their hair. And it's like, ugh. All right, so Ohio State is 8.
Does that feel too high to you guys?
Yeah, because they lost Dwayne Washington. Sad, yeah. Dwayne Washington put them on his back.
Now, they added Wheeler from Penn State.
Oh, that's right.
But, I mean, he's not.
Yeah, no, he's
not
no
a scorer.
He's no Dwayne Washington.
Clearly, they have, like, one of the best 4. I mean, EJ is going to be ridiculously good. But the backcourt, I feel like it's fair to question mm-hmm. the backcourt at this point.
I'm trying to even remember who was on that team. Who was the one big, thick guy that gave Illinois a lot of problems?
Zed Key.
Okay. No, not Key. It was Suing.
Suing's the 6'7" long, yes, and he's got some body to him as well.
He's strong. I mean, just he gave Illinois.
He's good. He's a good player.
That's kind of the way I see Ivy a little bit. Now, Ivy's not. He's more like Brandon Paul, where he's, you know, like just cut, et cetera. More of that kind of a body type. But I think those two guys can really hurt Illinois.
Kyle Young's back.
Oh, Kyle Young.
Speaking of hurting Illinois, Justin Arnes, the lefty shooter's back.
They just have a bunch of like B, you know, like a really good set of role players.
Good call.
I just don't know that like that matched up with Michigan's pure talent or Illinois' pure talent would beat them. But I could see them being like a solid, you know, 3-4 seed that could make a run if everything's clicking
just
for
them. Just a thorn in your side kind of guys. Yeah, Arnes. He wasn't even looking at the basket and making them in Champaign last year. That was unreal. Weren't they up like 18-2 or something? Or maybe it wasn't like that. Yeah, but
it was something crazy.
He just came out and made every shot he attempted.
That was the players only meeting after that game, I think, or something like that.
They lost to Maryland at home and then followed it up a week off and then didn't show up to play Ohio State.
Wow. And you talk about the sky is falling. And then you look, and I understand, take Loyola out. I know you can't, but up until that point, look what Illinois then did. I mean, it's so impressive that run at the end of the year where they would just, they went to Columbus and won. I mean, they were not being beaten.
It's three straight games. They went to Madison, they went to Ann Arbor, they went to Columbus. All back to back to back and won.
Two of which without your All-American point guard.
Because they switched the Michigan game, right?
Yeah.
And put it right in the middle of that.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, without Io. All right, so Villanova's 9, and then Puke is 10. Seth Davis, by the way, released his preseason list on The Athletic. He has Illinois at 17. Whatever. And he doesn't
Seth Davis has been doing some sailing. Whatever his offseason activities are, he's not as studied up.
Well, it's legal now in the United States.
Sailing?
Well, no, maybe his other off season. I'm kidding. I don't know that he hits those places, but I mean, when you look at the idea that he doesn't have Kofi on the All-American team, then I feel like he does hit those places.
He must.
So
Ohio State was ranked higher than Illinois in his power rankings, and then he had Trace Jackson Davis on his like All-American consideration.
And not Kofi. Wow.
I'm not sure I've ever felt a player is more overrated in my life than Trace Jackson Davis on all these first team All-Americans.
Whoa, that was... Don't you think that guys like this, they do, like, it's obvious to us now because of the omission of Kofi, but I feel like those guys do one goofy thing just to stay relevant in the world. So idiots like me mention Seth Davis's name. Right. I feel like it's almost like a charade. Like, okay, what can I do? I know Illinois has got one of the best fan bases in basketball, and they'll go nuts in a negative way, but it keeps my name out there. And then later in the year, I'll say, you know what, guys, I was wrong. Kofi's the best player in the country, and Illinois is going to win the national title. Then all of a sudden, we're like, wow, we love Seth Davis. I wonder if he's any better at coin flips than Andy Katz. Is he joining us next?
No.
Okay. Hey, we're whipping around the NFL next. Let's do it. It is The Drive. See you, Troy. Or Bill from Troy. See you.